You're listening to Become Family, a podcast aimed at restoring confidence in marriage and family life. Now.
You do.
Isn't that crazy?
This week.
I graduate tomorrow. I won't be there though. I'll be here. I didn't want to go.
I know.
I don't know. And maybe that's like an anti people thing of me. Like I didn't really want to go. But I'm happy I got
You didn't even want to go to your high school graduation.
No.
It's just not your thing.
No, I did that.
Not your scene.
Did that for the children. But I didn't. No. But no, so I got it. As hard as that was difficult balancing all that out. So it was pretty cool. So for the last episode that you listened to, didn't delete it because I got an A in that class. So that's good.
Good.
But now another thing we're looking forward to now is this thing that we're running for the diocese.
Yes.
Are we doing a class?
Yeah, we're doing like a workshop.
We're doing a workshop, guys. Workshop.
I think that's what it's called.
Via the Zoomies.
Yes. Yeah. So in the past, our diocese has done, like they've spread out workshops for the laity and then different like faith formation leaders and things like that, just to come and do. And now with, you know, just the change in landscape of how things are done, they're going to do it virtually online. And what's cool about it is that there's going to be a lot more topics offered than usual. And like it's live, but then also recorded so people can view it later.
Is it recorded? Oh, that's good. Yeah. So, cause I was going to say like, by the time you guys get this episode, we would have already done the workshop. And I was going to say like, if it's recorded, we'll share it. So hopefully you can keep it and share it.
So it'll be recorded, and it's cool because it's like, I think that what they're trying to do is mimic a lot of what these like summits have been doing. You know, if you follow different more like influencer type people on Instagram or speakers, like
not us,
but like they do summits, and there's been ones on marriage. There's been ones on, obviously, I just think of marriage things because this is what we talk about. Because
everything is so great.
Yeah, but anyway, so just different topics.
Mary. And,
okay, thank you. point made.
Humor. Taking jokes.
Anywho. So our diocese is trying to provide something similar for our diocese. It'll be open to more people, but it's just targeted.
They ran out of space and they were like, Monica Renzo, do you want to do one?
No, can you fill a gap?
They were kind to include us in to see if there's anything we want to talk about. So we actually took on we took on the communication. Sorry. We took on a marriage piece and we said, hey, let's do a workshop on communication. It was for two reasons. One, not because we think we have great communication. It was because this is a great way for us to kind of put the things we've learned together to be able to share. And then also for us to go out and learn more things. Because when we share things, it's not usually just from our experience, but because of the things we've kind of pulled from all the other resources and things.
Right. It's things that we've learned and then tried to implement in our marriage so that like we give credit where credit is like, well, we try to give credit, but we learn these things and we try to implement them and we're like, okay, so here's these things and this is how we've seen it. And so I'm excited to present.
Yeah. So we got to make a PowerPoint. No, not a PowerPoint, a Canva point. We're going to make a slideshow too. So you guys will be able to see that. But we're going to come at them with the, what is it? Ask culture and guest culture. Mm-hmm. So we'll be able to, and then, I wanted to go over the second thing that I want to emphasize a little bit. I got it from the same therapist that we saw on YouTube, and she's just had some really good things. And I'm hoping to bring this up to you, because you're right now you're hearing us also plan to talk out.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna bring it up to you, and also I wanna, because as I learned this, I was like, oh man, I do this.
So, spoiler alert, I haven't watched this video that you're about to share this information with. So I'm learning with you guys.
There is limited time in the day, so we are podcasting and planning at the same time.
Yeah, and I just have less quiet time to hear and listen to videos. So
I don't have quiet time. My brain is always buzzing.
Fair.
But I might as well just keep throwing noise in there. So the videos that she has, and I'll put the link to them in the show notes, weren't necessarily about communicating, but were about listening, which is funny because I don't think we think of that as part of the communication sphere.
See, I think it is.
See, I don't.
Right.
I got to get my point across well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well maybe that... Okay. Is that part of what we're about to talk about?
Is this a wound? Sorry. No, but...
Is this a thing? Did we discover another thing?
Let's write a book. But... No. We need an editor.
Katie.
I'm sorry. No, what was I... No, but so... Because like the ask culture and guest culture thing was great. But when I think of communicating with you, I don't necessarily think of, am I listening well?
Yeah.
Like
I think, do a lot of the talking.
So, okay. Well, okay. I think a lot of people, and I'm under the assumption, you tell me if I'm wrong, but like we want to make sure that we get our point across well. Like, so we want to at least make sure that, like, all the things that I'm feeling and thinking, we want to make sure that we're expressing them well. And I think that takes a lot of work and a lot of practice. And I think that everybody wants to do well in that area. But I think from learning some of these things, I feel like listening is actually harder because the impulse is to respond.
Yeah.
Okay. Whether it be defensive or offensive or neutral, like you want to say something. That means, all right, do you remember the episode in The Office when they want to teach Dwight how to sell to a female business owner? And like, they're like, you have to nod your head to show that you're listening. That's what it is. But like, I don't know, I kind of take it for granted, like, this is what you're supposed to do. Like, when you're listening to someone, you have to, like, in the video, she calls it, you do the hairy eyeball. So like that, all that means is like you turn your head and you like lift your eyebrows, like, oh yeah, and you like you nod like, yes, yeah, I'm listening. But like, so you're laughing, but I know that this is silly, like I'm supposed to do this, but I forgot what we were saying in the kitchen. You were saying something to me in the kitchen and I immediately started trying to fix the problem instead of letting you finish what you're saying.
You interrupted me like three times,
right? And I was like, wow, I'm really bad at this. But that's the thing, though, is that like I think when we'll go through this, like, be like, yeah, no doubt you're supposed to do this, but like, okay, but in the moment, are you gonna do it? Or
right.
Sorry, because this is how my brain works. Like that one time I taught that kickboxing class to you and Katie and Elizabeth, and I said that like in any martial arts or kickboxing, like people assume that like, oh, because I know how to fight, like if I get into a real fight, I know what to do. And I said that you don't rise to the occasion, you fall to your level of training.
Uh-huh.
And like, it's the same thing with communication. Like we will default to like what we usually do, what we practice, what we put effort into. Yeah. So like we assume like, oh no, I know these things. Like,
yeah. But if you're not practicing them.
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
So say that line again, because I feel like that's important. I don't want it to get lost.
You don't rise to the occasion, you fall to your level of training.
Mm. Which I feel like, yeah, if I pause and think about, you know, especially more like heated, whatever happened in the kitchen was not that important. We were just talking about the day. Like I wasn't trying to make a important point, but.
I still should have listened.
Fair.
Nonetheless.
But I guess my point being is like, but you would say like, no, but if it was really something important, I would be listening better. And to your, to your quote, like, you'll fall to your level of training. Like you'll just go back to what your comfort zone. You're not going to rise to the occasion necessarily. And I feel like, man, that's interesting to like reflect on for a second. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's like kind of like when, and I don't know where this is in the Bible, and this is probably terrible for someone who has a master's now. Don't know where this is in the Bible, but in the Bible it says,
show us how good you are.
Yeah, terrible. This is what I get. Humility. Where it says that, like, if you're trusted with little things, you can be trusted with larger things, bigger things. I don't remember the, see, this is terrible off the cuff, but like,
so that, Catholic of that, you. You
know, but I can show you where the Pope is in the Bible. But like, it's that kind of thing where like, we assume that for the big things will show up, but like, we have to show that we'll show up for the little things too. So like, so with listening, I think, so with all the communication skills that we've talked to up to this point, and I said, wait, can you write this down? This is a good point to make when we give the workshop about rising. Okay, you're not writing.
I don't. He's telling me to write, and I don't have a writing utensil or paper near me.
That's right. Just
however,
we'll remember, it's recorded. We'll
however, he has a pad of paper in front of him.
Okay. First, we need to, like I said, listening is a skill.
He's listening to himself.
Okay, listening is a skill. Mm-hmm. It is not like just a thing that. I think some people assume that we are born with certain things that we're good at and we're not good at. Mm. So like, I've heard before say like, oh, I'm terrible with names. Mm-hmm. I'm just terrible with names. I can't get names. But
okay. I don't know if this will end up in the episode. We just like did an audition tape for Saints Alive.
Yes, I'm making voices.
And Renzo was like acting voices, and right now he's so much more energetic and like gestures and everything right now. I'm having a hard time.
Sorry.
This is not our normal setting.
I think we should try to record a Saints Live, even if they don't give us scripts. Yeah, we'll just
keep sending them. Just send them. Sorry, Alex and Melissa.
Please take us. I'll just start reading from the Bible in different voices.
And accents. Oh, that's where it was from. I wish, like, this is one of those times where I kind of wish we were not just podcasting so you could see how ridiculous this is.
Video podcasting.
Video. Excuse me.
If you were, sorry, back to listening. No, okay, so listening is a skill.
It's not like a born gift.
Yes, it's not. So like, like people saying that they're not good at names. Again, I might put this in the show notes if I can find the study, but I remember when I was in undergrad, there were studies showing that people that were better with names scored higher on caring whether or not they were learning people's names. Mm. So like people who thought it was kind of trivial to learn a new person's name, probably didn't remember. But like if someone came in and be like, this is really important. So like say it's a big business meeting, like I'm meeting, you know, whatever, they will focus and remember the name. They may use different skills like repeating or whatever, but they're going to focus on getting the name. And I think listening and just communication in general is a skill. Yeah. So like articulating what we want to say is one part of it, but then also listening is another part. So remembering that it's a skill that is going to take practice. So that means there should be mercy on both ends from both spouses. Cause like, okay, they're not going to get it right away, but at least they're going to start putting the effort in. So, the first part is to keep that in mind. It's a skill. And then she kind of goes down the list. I kind of made a list. Pay attention. So in the, they're like, oh yeah, no doubt. No, well, no, I don't do it. And I try really hard, but like you'll say something and my mind immediately goes to like, okay, what can I do about this? What is she really saying? You know, what am I doing with my hands? I don't know. Like I'm thinking of other things instead of just paying attention to what you're saying. And this is where she says, and then she says, okay, pay attention, stop talking.
Mm.
So I'm 0-2. I don't do either. I am terrible at listening. I try to jump to like what the answer is. So this is where she says use the hairy eyeball as a way to show you're listening. Like, yes, that's the hairy eyeball.
Again, you can't see what I'm doing.
But like just turn, like think of it like when you make a weird noise to a dog and it turns its head to the side. Like, think of that. Like, it's like, what are you doing? But like you turn and you're like, oh, you lift your eyes. Like, oh yeah, this is.
And try to time those eyebrow raises to things that sound important or interesting.
Yes. See, listen, just like that. So, and the next one is to show you're listening through nonverbal cues. So like body positioning. So like I joked about where do I put my hands? But like if I'm fidgeting with something, like I'm not listening. So
Or it seems like you're not listening, at least.
No, well, okay, yeah, so I guess we can go into like how I listen, but yeah. You already established I'm not too great at those. but so like I can be listening if I'm, maybe there's certain things like I need to fidget in my hands to listen.
Yeah.
There's some people that need that. But I think that if we don't put our phones away or if mm-hmm. we're, you know, like I'm putting, we'll talk while I'm doing the dishes. Like if you're not directed to that person, they can, mm-hmm. you know, the conversation's not there. It's a little bit different. It's like being fully present and turning and listening to the person. And then listen for deeper meaning. That's another one.
Yeah.
And I think is another one I struggle with. Because I'm being harsh on myself right now. I just auditioned for Saints Alive, so we'll see. I'm very
I feel very vulnerable and exposed right now.
No, but I know that earlier in our marriage, the communication was a lot harder. Mm-hmm. And the listening for deeper meaning was one that I struggled with a lot because there was a lot of times where you would say a thing and I would just take whatever you said at surface value and try to address just that and not really consider like, well, what is really bothering her? Mm. That kind of goes to the guest culture thing of like, you're not telling me outright.
Yeah.
And not saying that I don't think you do that to try to get me to figure it out.
Right.
But I think this is how you communicate.
And there just is something deeper there.
Right. Yeah. So like, what if I actually listened, see, I'm interrupting now, but if I actually listened for the deeper meaning of what you're saying, I think we could have resolved things a lot. Mm. Quicker, or at least without as much, we had to do a lot of work to resolve a lot of things.
I feel like sometimes though you swung the pendulum so much that you like read into certain things way too much too, and it's like, no, just listen to what I'm saying though. Like, there is not a deeper meaning to this. Like, I think sometimes when you're practicing and you're implementing these things and you offer the advice of like, have mercy on both sides too. Like, there can be a lot of like overcorrecting when you're trying to learn how to communicate and when you're trying to address certain issues. So I think sometimes too, people tend to like look for more meaning. And I know that's, I think, one of the things that I sometimes fall trapped to is like when I hear your tone or I hear you say something and then I think back to how that related to some other situation and I think that you're lumping it all together and you're like, no, I'm pretty cool about it. Like, I'm just, that's all I wanted to say, you know? Yeah.
Well, cause I think as humans, we want to look for patterns to figure the world out. So like that things make more sense. Like we see that with Ben, which is like certain things are predictable. If I raise my hands like this and shake and show all done, like they're going to pick me up. Like we associate things. And I think as we start to figure ourselves out as newlyweds, and this is like going into 5-6 years, like we think that like, okay, so when she said this thing, or I know I remember thinking like, oh, she said this thing, but she really meant this thing. And then I'm like, oh, then that's all the time. And it's not. And then vice versa, like, oh, when Renzo like shows, you know, speaks in this tone and is talking about these things, like he's actually upset about this and it's not all the time because humans are so much more complex. Yeah. Like, I know that our kids may not think so. They might think that they get what they want if they do X, Y, Z. But like, you know, now as we've gotten deeper into our marriage, like there's just so much complexity in what makes you tick, what makes me tick, and how we've taken our life experiences into how we interact with each other.
Yeah.
That there's just no box. So like listening for the deeper meaning doesn't mean there's always going to be one there.
Yeah.
But like being aware that that's a possibility.
Yeah.
But again, listening.
Right.
And not thinking about like, oh, what is this actually? But like, okay, I'm listening. And the way you figure out if there's a deeper meaning is by using phrases like, I see you're feeling blank, or what I'm hearing is that you're saying this. Mm-hmm. And I know I don't think I've used that exact phrasing, but I've tried to be like, help me understand.
Yeah.
Cause I don't end.
Yeah. I think, like one thing that's been brought up, I think everybody's heard the term active listening before, where you try to repeat what you heard and to show that you're listening. And I think that like, again, it's like, it's the practicing part. Like sometimes that feels a little bit forced, but as you really start to engage in that practicing, it's not, there's active listening. And then there's like a next layer, next level of active listening. It's not just repeating back, but being willing to like, ask for clarification. Like, I think this is what you're saying, but now I'm confused how you got to this point, or like to, I think by offering follow-up questions and not just repeating shows that you're listening, because I heard what you said, but I may be missing your deeper meaning. Can you clarify that for me? Yeah. You know, and by offering positive body language and facial expressions, you've shown the person that you've put in the effort to understand them, to listen to them. Mm-hmm. So by you asking follow-up questions or for clarity, I think that they're more willing to do that, because you're like, well, you weren't blowing me off. You were really trying to hear what I had to say.
You know, it's funny. I definitely do a better, well, now I don't work in social work, but I definitely did a better job of this. I do a better job of this when I was working in social work in the nursing homes, because mm-hmm. it's like what you said, and it was subtle, but like what you were saying is like, okay, I'm hearing this, but like, but you confused me when you went to blank. Mm-hmm. So like, if I'm the one listening and you're the one telling me, and I tell me and I say, you're confusing me, it puts the onus on you, as opposed to I'm the one listening. Mm. I should respond with, help me understand, or I'm not really understanding.
Yeah. And that's a good point. Yeah. Like, the way you word it. Right. That's really great.
Wording it in a way that's like, okay, it's not, you're not doing anything wrong with the way you're communicating. I'm struggling with my listening. Can you help me understand? Are you,
that's
explain this to me like I'm a 5-year-old, yeah. but kind of in that.
But if you really want mm-hmm. to listen well, then like, yeah, like explain it to me like I'm a 5-year-old, because I really want to get this.
Right.
And I'm not going to take offense in you like, quote unquote, dumbing it down for me, because it matters so much to me for me to understand you that I'm going to I'm willing to ask the dumb questions. Like I'm willing to like look silly.
Yeah. Or like, you know, can you explain it to me in a different way? Cause I'm having a hard time understanding, but like putting,
and I don't really mean dumb. I guess I'm just like, that's how you feel sometimes when you're like, I'm not getting it.
Mm-hmm. No, but I think, right. Like being, but I think that's a level of vulnerability of like,
yeah.
But again, my level of training is not like, we probably need to practice this more actually. Cause I don't do this well with you.
Yeah.
I do this well outside. Like it's very second nature when I'm out of the home, but like in the home, I think as you add a little bit more of motion to it.
Yeah.
And also like, I want to defend myself, which isn't listening.
Yeah. I think that's a great point, that we can often be better listeners, or like put into practice better listening skills outside, because there's also not this like personal connection to it. Like I'm not as involved in this story. I'm a third party hearing you tell me a situation about this other person and you and your family and their dog and whatever. Like, but like when it's us communicating with each other, it's like I'm communicating about you often. And so there is this level of connection where you're like, I want to defend myself because I like my point of view was different from your point of view. So I want to explain my point of view. Mm-hmm. But first I should listen to your point of view, because my point of view is irrelevant. If that's how you experience the situation, mm-hmm. then like, well, yeah. that's really important too.
Well, like, and even outside the home. So like you kind of described like a scenario where someone's telling you a story, but it could even be like, if it's like a boss that you're talking to, like that's more of a transactional relationship where if you're sitting with your boss, you're like, all right, you want to just get to like, what can I do to make this better? What did I do wrong? Whatever. How can I improve?
And there's some sort of like hierarchy to it too. Like if it's my boss, then I'm going to
go at it a certain way.
I'm going to listen differently and be more obedient. And cause like, I want it to be done the way the boss is supposed to be done. And then, or if I'm the superior in the situation, and I'm using like blanket terms, but like if in this social structure, work structure, whatever, like I'm the person that like you should be listening to or following, then like I speak differently and I listen differently because,
right. Yeah, and but like same if it's so say like it's somebody, it's a teen and youth group or something, like I said, like in my old job, like our goal is to help the person. So, how we feel is kind of irrelevant. Like even if like, cause I've had people blow up on me and I don't take it personally because like my goal is to help you. So like, if this is what you got to do, that's fine.
Yeah.
So like we've kind of worked through that. But if it's between you and me, there's the roles are so different because it's not like, yes, I want to help you, but I also want you to love me as your husband and communicate to me like I'm your husband and vice versa. Like there's not the same hierarchy as like a boss, supervisor,
Yeah.
What is under supervisor? Supervisory?
Subordinate.
Subordinate. There you go. So like there's not that dynamic. Yeah. And I think that makes listening and communicating so difficult.
Yeah.
So that we need to practice.
Yeah.
Need to have like, just like Dwight, do the hairy eyeball. A couple of things that I thought was funny that she mentioned in the video is that listening is not agreeing or disagreeing. That's not listening. Listening is not giving advice. Listening is not teaching. Listening is not problem solving. Listening is not asking a lot of questions. And listening is not trying to change or convince. And like that, listening is not those things. Listening is listening.
Mm-hmm.
And like at the end, me trying to be like, to make sure I understand, this is what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, help me understand. And we'll try again. Because that's just not something, I know that's not something I learned growing up. I don't think they taught us any of this in school.
No.
I think I took like a little bit of active listening in
psychology classes. Yeah.
But like, so like the help me understand, like that, I kind of got it from that.
Yeah.
But outside of that, like we're not really taught how to do this well, unless it's modeled for us. I don't think it's intuitive.
Yeah. I think that's such a great point because there are so many elements to effective communication, right? And like you share that typically when we hear communication, we think of expression, like what we're expressing. But listening is an equal part to communication, and it is shut your lips, open your ears, and like that's the listening part. And then the expression is the other part. And don't try to claim that you're listening by opening your mouth and like doing.
Right. And even agreeing.
Like, yeah.
That's not listening.
That's not listening. Yeah. It's so interesting. That was a good point.
It wasn't mine. Not taking credit.
Yeah.
I thought that the quote you're about to read from St. John Paul fits so well because we are very big on like the human formation piece. Like we obviously, if you listen to the other episodes of our podcast, we switch it up between like human things that need to be worked on in marriage, but also like the faith things that need to be worked on in marriage. Yeah. Like there's definitely, yes, you have to work on both, but they do kind of intermingle sometimes.
They're integrated.
Too.
Yeah.
And I like how he talks about how growing in the relationship with marriage is like growing in the Christian life, and it needs to be done and worked and developed.
All right. St. John Paul the Great, in a homily in 1985, shared, "Just as the Christian life requires continual conversion, so married life requires the couple to make constant and generous efforts to deepen their conjugal communion. By God's design, there exists a natural complementarity and attraction between the man and woman, but these still have to be developed and fostered by loving attention to each other's needs, and above all, by recourse to the graces received in the sacrament. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth and love, is poured out upon the married couple in a special way in the sacrament, and He will help them in their desire to overcome personal shortcomings and selfishness and to achieve ever greater communion in Christ." Boom.
We should definitely lead with that in the workshop.
Yeah.
That'll be the verses.
That's a great...
This is a planning meeting, everyone.
Yeah, thank you for coming. Thanks for listening, guys. As we externally process our thoughts. I just love how, just like showing how integrated this is, this whole like marriage process, right? Like we were just talking about how the communication within marriage is a unique set of skills. It's not that you don't communicate with your spouse the same way that you communicate with other people. And it's because this relationship is different. This relationship is different. And therefore, it needs to be treated differently. It needs to be given special attention. And it needs to be like in communion with our faith, in communion with the Holy Spirit, to be done well, because the Holy Spirit is what wants to guide and make our marriage successful. Like, this relationship is so important that there is special graces to help it be successful.
And I like the natural complementary and attraction, right, between the man and the woman in marriage. Because like, and again, this isn't the case for everyone in what I'm about to say, but like we communicate very differently. Mm-hmm. We like you're a guesser. I'm an asker. I think that I struggle with listening more. I do think you listen a little bit better. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I'm not paying attention. I'm paying attention to how I listen half the time. But like, I just know that we communicate differently. Our love languages are different. Mm-hmm. Just the way that we process the world is very different.
Yeah.
And I, like we mentioned, I think our second episode, like, but we complement each other.
Yep.
And that's a very beautiful thing, but a lot of times it's frustrating because like, you're just so, you don't see things the way I do.
Yeah. Right. And we draw things out of each other that we didn't know like existed. We allow each other, or we encourage each other, we invite each other to see other perspectives, you know, and like within our marriage, but then even just in the world that like, oh my goodness. Yeah. And it sounds so like, duh, but like everybody's unique and different. So by like being married to someone who is completely unique and different from you reminds you of that constantly, that like, the rest of the world is not you, you know, and mm-hmm. it shows you that. And I think that, there's a really cool dynamic when it comes to our differences and our complementarity, and how working with our differences allows our marriage, allows our relationship to be all the more like beautiful, all the more dynamic.
But like, it's not just a thing that happens though. And I think that's the other, I think we kind of fell into that early on, is just thinking that like things were just gonna, like, we'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. You know, Monica's one way, I'm a different way, and you know, kind of things kind of figure themselves out. But I like how he compares it to the Christian life that requires continual conversion. Mm-hmm. Because so like, if we are not putting the, you know, I don't know if we said another episode, but like practice, like I think it's just practice, like communicating well, it takes practice, and we have to just do it a lot and keep practicing.
Yeah, I think we said it once, practice makes progress. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so like in terms of the Christian life, I can't tell you how many people have told us, come to us and said that they don't have a active prayer life. Mm. And I think I remember being there, and that was difficult, just building up something that's consistent and habitual and that's good. And a lot of it was because I was hoping that at some point that I would be so motivated that I'd just be able to do it.
Yes.
That I would just stick to it. Like, you know, every day I'm going to get up, I'm just boom, motivated, boom, throwing the Bible, remembering the verses, all of it, right? Like just, I would be
motivated. The big things and the little things.
All the things. And I was hoping I would pray to God for the day that I would have that motivation to just do it.
Yeah.
And I think we also see marriage that way. We're like, you know, and we don't call it motivation. We call it our love. We're so in love that like, we're just going to, you know, we're going to get through this. And for both situations, like, no, it takes work.
Yeah.
Like you have to commit. It's going to be bad. There's going to be times where, like we've had blowouts before because we just were not on the same page, mm-hmm. but like we didn't just leave it there. We grew and we right. pushed through it. And when those moments got really, really bad, we continue to persevere through them. And I think that's how you build a prayer life.
Right.
That's also how you build a good marriage.
Right. Because stubbornness can go two ways. Like stubbornness can be like, no, I'm going to dig my heels in and like, I'm right and they're wrong. And I'm like, either they come around or this conversation's over. Or there's a stubbornness of like, we have got to get this together, you know? And like, and I think that if a couple can be unified in their stubbornness to like get this together somehow and be willing to be vulnerable and like be willing to be wrong, be willing to not have all the answers, like then that's where like really good stuff can come. And and this quote even says that the graces poured out in marriage, the Holy Spirit will come and help them in their desire to overcome personal shortcomings and selfishness and to achieve greater communion. Like it's like in that acknowledgement of my own personal selfishness. Like I want to be right. I want him to think the way that I'm thinking. I want this to be easy. I don't feel like fighting anymore. I don't feel like being confused anymore. I don't feel like you can have all of those feelings, but to bring that to prayer and to bring that to your spouse and be like to just be authentic about like, I don't want to be here like in this, like this discontent, this discomfort anymore. Like, where do we go? And like bringing that to the grace of the sacrament too, like the infusion of the Holy Spirit into those moments has a power that like we can't quantify, like we can't explain. It wasn't because of our practice makes progress. It was because practice makes progress plus the Holy Spirit, like good stuff comes from that.
And like, and the progress doesn't, I don't, and until we get to heaven, like the progress isn't supposed to stop.
Yeah.
Like I'm thinking specifically, I think it was yesterday actually, you thought I was upset about something, mm-hmm. which I was for a few seconds until I actually thought through it. But I could tell that because of situations in the past of how I've handled it.
Yes.
Like you were like that, obviously.
I felt like I was walking on eggshells, right, waiting like, for it. Yeah.
Right. And so like, I think it, so another thing to be aware of is the wounds that poor communications have caused earlier yes. in the relationship or even you know recently, whatever. But like, not that we have anything recent, but like for our listeners, like even if you've been married for 20 years and you're listening to this, thank you for listening, by the way. But like if you've, it, regardless of how long you've been married, if there's been times that you've been wounded or wounded the other by poor communication.
Yeah.
Like just be aware that that's something else that needs progress to be healed. And
right.
like we had, like I had to tell you more than once, like I'm not upset. Like right. it's okay. I'm not upset.
Right. And like, I don't know, even just like explain the situation because it was poor communication on both of our parts in the past. Like I don't want listeners to feel like you're always wounding me in our communication strategies. But like in the past, I didn't always like articulate or communicate my plans or when plans changed. And I just kind of went with the flow and was like, I'll explain it later. Like I'll catch you up once the situation is over. So for example, yesterday the kids and I were out, we went to like an event. One thing led to another when we were running late. All legitimate reasons, but in the past, I would have just like come back late and been like, I'm sorry, this happened and then this happened and this happened. And I tried to be a little bit more articulate, like, hey, things are running a little bit late. You know, oh, I said we'd be home at this time, but we're going to be home at this time, I think. And then like, okay, we're loading up in the car and try to like update you as we went. So that was like a way that like on my end, communication was trying to improve. And then I feel like you did a better job yesterday of being like, no, like I really, because we also have these other things on the tail end, can you please try to not be as late? Like do your best to get home as early as possible because it just has a continual ripple effect. But in the past, like me being late would have been like really upsetting to you and you would have kind of been grumpy. So I was anticipating that response and that's not what I got. So I just kept being like, are you sure you're okay?
Yeah, no.
And I think because it was both of us, like both of us used to not handle those situations mm-hmm. well. And even though we've implemented and we've practiced new ways of communicating, there's still like the emotional baggage of it. Like attached to it that takes time to like yeah. heal.
Well, even like the just because the situation you just brought up, like I think also the getting to the deeper meaning, I think I was able to just speak to the deeper meaning of like just for next time, just can we try to avoid the situation? Whereas like before I would have, like I know earlier in our relationship, I would just be upset and say I'm upset about this thing, but not really think about like, but it's really because of this, right? Like I'm upset you guys got home late. But I wouldn't explain to you as like, well, it's because we have to leave in an hour. Mm-hmm. So like there's, you know, and we have to do all these other things. And like, there's just a lot of moving around. Like I wouldn't have explained all that because yeah. I probably wouldn't have known either. But like learning to sit with myself of like, all right, what's the deeper meaning that right. you know, and just being able to articulate that you right away, you understood what I was coming from. So I was like, yeah, no, I'm not upset. Mm-hmm. Like that's just it. And like, that's.
Yeah.
Right. And also one thing you actually helped me with, because you read it in a Brené Brown book. is, actually, no, it wasn't hers. Well, she also said it too, but like you actually, Dr. Locke, when he said to you, like, okay, what do you want the outcome of this to be?
Yeah.
And I forgot, it was related to like some sort of like, disagreement you were going to have with someone or a confrontation, but
So in therapy, I was learning how to better, like better be prepared for confrontations because I hated them and tried to avoid them.
Right. And then, So then him having you, like, instead of going through different scenarios in your head, just asking the question yourself, like, what do you want the outcome to be?
Right.
So I was able, I asked myself that. I was like, oh, just next time, just, you know, don't front load too much if we have, a late night that night. Yeah. So, and that helped me communicate. And I think it's just cool to see, cause like being able to contrast that with like how we've done it.
Yeah.
5 years ago. Cause five years ago, that would have been an issue that lasted 2 days.
Yeah. Right.
For silly reasons. Like, you know, I'm a broken person, but like for both of us, like it would have lasted for way too long anyway. And I think that like with the, like the Christian life, like there is a progress that you need to make. Like that you still have to develop and foster by loving attention.
Yeah.
Sorry. That has to be developed and fostered by loving attention to others' needs.
Yeah.
So like that's what we have to, like, it's embarrassing to talk about and I think it's vulnerable to talk about, but at the same time, like, but that's what you're supposed to do in marriage. Like these things happen, but you're supposed to continue to progress. Like you cannot be having the same arguments in the same way.
Yes.
5 years later.
Yes.
Or even 2 years later. Like, no, there needs to be progress.
Yeah.
Same as in the Christian life. Like if your prayer life is still the way it was in high school, like you need to address that.
Yeah.
Because it can't be that anymore.
Right. And I think going back to the, you know, Brené called it paint me a win. Mm-hmm. And
so I didn't finish that thought.
Yeah. 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 So like, that's a cool visual of like, okay, in marriage, like hopefully more often than not, our painting of a win is the same and we're coming at it from different situations, different ways of communicating, different emotions. And I think the articulating of what is our end goal and now we need to re-strategize how to get there is one way to help this process. Because because also like if we're aiming at two different places and our communication strategies are poor, then like it's never going to circle back. Cause like, and how many times do we have different conversations at this in the same time? Like, wait, you meant what? And like, because we were aiming at different places. Mm-hmm. So I feel like sometimes when you feel like you're circling around, haven't we fought about this already? Or didn't I already
win the last one?
Right. Or like, didn't I ask you this already? Or I thought you meant this, you know, and like if sometimes it is just like, okay, get to the goal first, and then the conversation is how to get there instead of the conversation leading to the goal. You know, and it might sound backwards, but I feel like that's helped us sometimes is to just articulate. And I think that's helped with our listening because then we're more attuned to like where our listening is focused on that goal. Like, okay, I'm listening for all the things that will help me get to this goal versus like, I'm listening and I don't really know where we're going here. Like, yeah, what am I listening for?
Yes. Which is like, I've had that. And it's funny, like the strategies that we're saying, like could work with listening with anybody.
Yeah.
Cause I've had that issue with like, with other interpersonal relationships of just like, can you just paint for me a win?
Yeah.
Cause I hear you're upset, but you also want me to do this. I'm not sure what you want me to do.
Right.
And I don't say that, but I'm like, can you just paint for me a win?
Yes.
You know, what do you want the outcome of this conversation to be?
Right.
Again, I do a lot better in business situations than I do.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just easier.
No, it is like, easier because you're not, there's a detachment to it. Right. And that's fair. And that like, there should be a level of detachment.
Very rarely am I having to talk to the most beautiful woman in the world.
Oh, gosh.
And stop myself from blushing.
Okay.
Did you fall asleep? You became super pig. Sorry.
Wow.
No, but like, I ready for my next audition.
I guess so.
So thank you guys for being here to help us plan this talk. We'll let you know how it goes on the gram. You'll see it. Mm. Will you?
I don't know.
You should plan it, post it. So hopefully this has definitely helped us to put it together so we can now put it on a PowerPoint.
Yeah. No, I appreciate this opportunity though to, I don't know, just kind of like externally process and like go through. I don't know that I've ever like wrapped it up in my brain of all the different things that we've tried and failed at and tried and like had some progress with and stuff. And I, maybe that's the point I want to make too, is that like trying and failing at new communication strategies is still progress because you're not repeating the same mistakes. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess I want to encourage couples to like try new things. It doesn't have to be like what we're suggesting, but just try something different if what you're doing isn't working, because that in itself, that willingness to like do the uncomfortable, to do the thing you're not really motivated to do, to get past this like selfishness, whatever it is. Try and fail, because then at least you're like, okay, well, that didn't work. What do we try next? You know, and doing that together as a team effort is so important. So I guess I just want to encourage you that like these things are hard and they're not all going to work, but to keep at it.
But lean into the grace.
Yeah, don't discount the power of grace and Holy Spirit in your marriage too. Yeah, for sure.
And stay at it. And we'll see you guys at the next episode.